brother Martin Klingenberg. It was told to me that he had good knowledge of things that we need to hear, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. So, Brother Martin, would you please offer us something?
Thank you.
And if I can start with something totally different.
You could pull that microphone around to you.
I got a microphone.
You know, I remember, I tried to think when this was. It was like in the mid-80s.
You know, I was in South Africa.
And the kingdom people gathered together, then they had a gathering of men. And they ended up over 700 men.
And
to do the same as we are doing here. And those men, when they sang in that building, it sounded the same as this morning.
Amen.
And you know, it's encouraging to hear people sing the old gospel songs that are our heritage, our backbone.
And the second story I want to tell you was in
Reformation time.
I might cry when I say this. You know, that last song that you... Something is not
working.
But good song, Almighty Fortress is Our God. When Martin Luther was ordered to appear before the Diet of Worms, he had to travel from Wittenberg to
Worms. And followed him all the way to Worms. And on that ox cart, he started singing this song that you just sang. So how long is that song part of our people? Think about it. And as he was inside the diet, being accused by a Jew of what he believes, for neck, the people outside started to sing the song, Almighty Fortress, is Our God. Think what you just did. You jumped right in the feet, in the shoes of fathers and mothers that were before you. You know, it's emotional for me because our Christianity should be real. And I'm scared to use the word Christianity anymore because of what we're exposed at. But what I wanted to talk about today is a very simple message, really. But I want to start in saying, you know, my wife couldn't be here today. And she sends all her love and her regards. She's really here in spirit. And she's praying for all of us here. And I don't know if you all already met my children here. Samuel, can all you children stand up? That they just know, you know, but at least belong somewhere. Samuel is the oldest. And then Anneliese was in the red. And then Ingrid. And then Matthias. And they are part of now 10 children. My wife is expecting, so there's a few more at home still. So we are very, very blessed that, you know, we are family that knows the gospel. I came from South Africa. My family moved to Africa in 1849. And I moved out of there in 91, came to this country and made this my home. And the topic is Astride Two Worlds. I mean, you might think I might talk of Africa and here, but it's really a total different message. You know, and I want to just focus on something that everybody of you saw in that letter that was sent out by our brother. And it says, the focus of this camp will be to encourage the Israel of God as a cultural people, with Christ as her head, to aid in unity and to rejoice in kindred fellowship. You know, when I just heard this singing this morning, I experienced already what was the onset, what was intended for this gathering. People, if we can express our joy in our voice to our Father that is in heaven, everything else will come natural. But, you know, I actually tried this morning to bring a prop because I wanted to get these children involved. But, you know, that Walmart down the road was just, I think it was still the old Walmarts. They didn't have everything that I needed. But, you know, I want you to imagine in your mind now two big balls, like this size balls. There's two balls right here. One is right here, and another one is right here. And the topic of this lesson is Astride Two Worlds? Question mark. Is it possible? Okay, what am I talking of? I'm talking of this world that we live in. Everything that we see here in America, what has been pushed on us, is the one ball. And then the other ball on the side, I want to call it Thy Kingdom Come ball. Is it possible that you can, okay, well, what does the word astride mean? I mean, I'm not an English expert here, but I would imagine it's like a horse. You sit astride a horse, isn't it? Okay, is it possible that I can take these two balls and be astride them both?
No.
You're going to have a hard time. Very hard time. I even tried to look for these balls that have these handles on it. I think they're exercise balls or something. But I couldn't find them either. But I even think if you had a handle on it, you still would actually fail. So what are we trying then as a people? And I don't mean America now. I mean our people. We are trying to straddle both worlds. Isn't it? And we're trying hard. And we're failing at both. And that's what I want to talk on. And, you know, if there's a child, you know, a child is, they would naturally come here, and if you tell them, okay, just take this ball and play with it, what would they do? They'd immediately come to one ball and sit on it and play with it. Would they grab the next ball too and try to straddle both? Most likely not. But think for an instant here, what are we trying to do? This meeting that we called here, the focus of this camp will be to encourage the Israel of God as a cultural, what?
People.
We can start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, O God, that the light might shine today. That your Spirit will touch each and every one, that the words of my mouth will be well pleasing to you. Oh, Father, make us that cultural people again, that we can bring forth fruit and grow downwards and bear fruit upwards. Even through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, if I can start, you know, in a verse, let's move to our Bibles, if you have a Bible, to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 3. It's a very small book in the Bible. You know, the ladies or the girls love to read this book. And I want to read verse 1 and 2, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Okay, what am I trying to tell you here this morning? I'm going to ask you a question here this morning. What are we talking of here? And I'm going to go not just in the aspect, I'm using the scripture, because no scripture is given for private interpretation, just one aspect. Okay, I'm talking of rest for our people. Because what is the onset of this was to the focus of this camp as a cultural people with Christ as our head, isn't it? And this group is right at its foundation, starting to build a foundation on what are they going to stand. How are people going to witness or look at this group, the Hephzibite now? What are we going to stand for? I want you to consider very seriously this question. And I'm starting with that verse, shall I not seek rest for thee? And then it says, Boaz is of our kindred. You see, that's the first thing that we need to seek after, is rest. And take again the balls. There's the one ball here. And I want to say the American ball. When did this country bring rest to its people? Did they ever? Okay, and then on this other ball, Christ says, Thy kingdom come in earth as it is in. So we need to institute God's rest for his people where we are living today. And how are we going to do that? How will we do this? You know that. And we have seen in the last few years, and I have not lived in all my life here, but I have seen the changes in a few years that I've lived in this country. That the America that was when I got here, even in 1991, and the America that is now, 2019, is day and night different. The cultural people that they are making right now, do you have any part of that? What they are creating? What they call patriotism now. Can you have a part of it? Can you put your weight on to support that? Or should we make something totally new, where our people again can find rest? And then I ask you, in this generation that we live in, because at my time and my age, I have children right now that has to come forward. I have to give them an identity that they can follow and build on. Can you see anything that America has to offer today that you can give your children? I mean, I don't even need to quote the news that is going on lately anymore. It is taking everything that is your heritage that you should be proud of as a white man away. We can invite Somalis in by the thousands, and they can talk their lingo, and that's heritage. But if I talk my language, it's bad. And this is why I'm saying, can you straddle, as be astride this ball called America today, as a people? And this is why I'm asking this, because the first statement on that letter that was given out says that we have to identify as a cultural people. Okay, let us turn to Isaiah chapter 37. And this is a verse that I really had trouble with for a long, long time. It was a difficult verse that I did not quite know what to do with. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 3. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. So I want to really start talking on this subject now. What is Hezekiah talking of right here? And I have to go back a little bit in our, for lack of term, for our movement, the Christian Israel movement in this country. Because, you know, my grandfather said one thing that my father, my uncles always said. Your grandfather always said, if you do not know where you're from, you do not know where you're going. So we have to look, where is our movement coming from, in order that we can see where we're going to go. As I understand it, at least, and I could be wrong, but as I understand it, it really, the Israel movement really came to a big explosion in the late 50s and early 60s, when the Southern Baptist Convention came and basically made a black, it's not a man, but a buck, or whatever you call those, equal to you. And there was a rebellion in the white population of this country. They couldn't stand to it. And as the Southern Baptist Convention started, the explosion came in all the churches. And they wanted to join the crowd there. And white people stood up. And then the Israel movement really exploded in America. It came from the 60s. To the 80s was the time that it was not unusual to get a 1,200-1,500 people like this together. And several preachers here in the front that will talk. Okay, that happened, a tremendous movement occurred in America till the 80s. In the 80s, something happened. That's when these preachers, the old generation, passed on.
That's right.
And the new ones that took over started separating the sheep Because here's 1,200 people that can pay their pockets. And they separated them. And tell this bunch of sheep, you don't go to those sheep, because those are black sheep. Or those are spotted sheep. And that happened till about 2000. It was almost a separation between God's people. That they couldn't stand one another. 2000 came, we were all so disappointed, because Y2K didn't happen. Absolutely disappointed. We gave up on God then, as a people, because we wanted judgment on America, to start it over again. And from then on, it is hard to even get, how many people are here, 80? It is hard to get 80 people together. And it's getting harder and harder. Okay, now look at this whole thing. When I came here in 91, the first place that I came, there were people, there were 700 people. And there were children. I couldn't believe my eyes. And that's what made me come to America. Because I saw these people that still have hope. Because they have a hope in the children. There was children there, probably at least two-thirds of the congregation was children. The first feast that I was at. But let's now read what happened.
It says there,
for the children are come to the birth. So we birth children. And then it says, and there is not strength to bring forth. Those children that I saw in 1991, where are they today?
Sitting on the other wall.
Exactly. You see, exactly this happened in our midst, in our congregations, or in our identity movement, in our kingdom, Israel movement. We brought children forth, birthed them. When they got to be 18, what did we do? We didn't give him the men of our movement. Didn't bring forth children and gave him that hope to hold on to. And that leaves us to today with very few people. And the talk that I had is here now. We have to bring these people together again. These families that have that vision again. We have to bring birth to these children and bring forth these children. What does it mean? And it's very interesting to me. Let's just go to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 5. It says there in verse 1 and 2, it says, remember, O Lord, that what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. Verse 7, our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquity. Let's turn to verses 14 and 15. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. Verse 17, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. 21. And then it says there, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. You see, this is where my heart goes out. Because I can see these people in my eye that when I came to this country. And now I just see the grandparents sitting still in the pew. The children and the grandchildren are gone. Why did this happen? And this question, before that we can go on, we have to understand where we were from, that we can correct this. Because I didn't bring my children into this world in order to lose them. And neither did you. And I look at these young people that are here present today. They are our hope, they are our future, and the destiny of a cultural people again. So what are we going to do? And I have to make it very understandable. I might dig in a little bit back here in order that we'll know where to go to. And if I turn back and see where we are from, that makes us able that we don't jump again in the same hole and fall flat on our nose. It says there in verse 21, turn thou us unto thee, O Yahweh, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. The question is again, here's the two balls again. Is it able then, are we able to sit astride both these balls? I think not. We have to choose now which ball we are going to sit astride of. This world ball that we would call America, or the other ball, thy kingdom come. We have to choose. And if we choose thy kingdom come, we have to take that ball with all our might and straddle it with everything we have. Okay, let's turn again to Isaiah 37. Chapter 37, 31 and 32. It states there, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, they that escaped out of Mount Zion. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts shall do this. Okay, so this gives us a hope that there is a hope forward. It's not just judgment. It's a promise. We can stand on the word of God that there is a way forward that is acceptable to our God. That we can show our children there is a hope, even in this crazy society. The question is that each one of you have to answer, and I have to answer it to myself. My children have to answer it for themselves. Because it states there, and the what? And the remnant. Okay, well, let us just define what is a remnant. So out of this whole cloth, let's say, you ladies, maybe I'm wrong, but help me if I understand it right. If you have this whole pattern, and you cut this pattern out of this cloth, what is the remnant? It's a little, so to speak, junk pieces on the side. Okay, if I put my jeans there now, is that the remnant? So it is part of the original, isn't it? Okay, are you part of that remnant that is cut out of the cloth of Israel? I mean faith-wise now. And physical. Okay? If you can say that, so what about your children? Are they part of a remnant? Okay, if I am then that remnant, what will you do? Or what will I do? Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I'm just asking a question, Ben, and help me here. I was not at the total start, the beginning of this foundation, when the foundation was being built of this Hepzibah group. But isn't that the thing that occurred in this group? They wanted counsel with men of like mind. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So was there something established here? Something good? With a purpose in mind of your children? That you can give it to your children? Now, if this is the aspect that we do, now we counseled. Okay, we want something different than what is out there. Let's now turn our back and look back where we were from. And I want to go into 2 Chronicles. Because I think it is a beautiful example. I won't read it all. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. In your private time, you can read it all. It is where Ahaz becomes king. Ahaz is Hezekiah's father. And he comes in, and I'll just read verse 2. And he did that which is, 27?
28?
No, maybe it's 28. Okay, he did everything that was bad. And the first thing he did, if you read through this chapter, he burned his own children. What does that mean? The fires of Moloch, isn't it? The second thing, what he did, he destroyed or slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which are all valiant men. He was the cause of it. Valiant men. And then the third thing he did, he made Judah naked and to transgress. He taught them how to transgress. And then the fourth thing, he cut in pieces the vessel of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of Yahweh. These are the things that Ahaz did. Okay, I'm going to be very direct here to you this morning. In our Israel Kingdom movement nationwide, ask yourselves, in how many parts are we guilty of what Ahaz did? Okay, I'm going to ask you, the children that were brought forth, that are unable, how many do you know that are dogs now, queers? That married outside of their race. And I can go on. It's too many, isn't it? Are we following the same steps as Ahaz in our own movement? Why? Okay, how many valiant men are left in our movement? I mean, if you think if they could get men together or groups together of 1,000 and 1,000 plus up to the 80s, it should be 10,000s by now. So we destroyed the valiant men. And then the other was, and he made Judah naked and to transgress. Isn't that exactly what happened between us? And then the fourth one, the vessels of the house of God, he destroyed and shut the door of the house of God. Are we even able in Israel today to worship together? Because we were divided. We are exactly in the same footsteps as our fathers were back in Ahaz's time. But the question is, we have to understand that's where we came from in order to make a change. This is why I'm saying it this direct. So, now let's correct this thing. How do you correct it then? Okay, what was the first thing that Hezekiah did to correct it? So just write the next chapter. He took the next chapter, I'll read the last verse in chapter 27 or 28. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchre of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay, Hezekiah took over now. Next verse, chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And then it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Okay, now let's look at the next verse. It states, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the door of the house of the Lord and repaired it. What does that mean? He wanted his people again to have a relationship of worship with a God. What did we have this morning here? We wanted to do what? Sing, wasn't it? Worship is forgiving yourself and lifting up the God that you serve. That's worship. That's the first thing that he wanted to do. And then it continues. And he said, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness of his holy place. You see, we need to correct a lot of things here now. And how are we going to proceed? And I want to step forward and say this is the pattern that we need to follow. And I understood it even actually happened here. Did the men not Gabba, wasn't it in Kansas somewhere? One of the first meetings, the men gathered together and fasted and prayed to find mercy before God. See, I don't know if they know this, but they already are starting to follow the pattern that is set in order to restore Israel again. To give their children's children an heritage and an inheritance. Can then be in verse 9, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Because the house of God was closed. That's why our children and our wives are in captivity. Our children have to be freed by opening the gates to the house of God again, to lawful worship, meaning the vessels that Ahaz broke in pieces. It has to be corrected. These are the first step in our making a cultural people again. My son, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him. And that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. And then the next verse it says, and the Levites rose up and did it. I'm asking you, are you the Levite, dear man? Of your house. That will cleanse himself. And stand before his God. Each and every one. Stand in for his wife. Stand in for his children. To present themselves acceptable again. And then it says, the next thing that happened in verse 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came. How are we going to touch our brothers that are not here? Are we going to take them under the arm and say, brother, please come with me. Let's cleanse ourselves. Let's cleanse this house. And it said there, but it took a whole month to take all the filth out of the house of God. Can you imagine the filth that is in Israel today that needs to be cleansed? And then it says there in verse 19, moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified. Behold, they are before the altar of Yahweh. You see, these are the things that need to be corrected. These were the vessels. This is the way to worship God. How to approach God. These things have to be prepared again and brought into the house of God. Are we able to bring even that back? I think it is so crucial for us to do these things in order to step in. And we'll have a hard time at it, but we'll succeed. And you know what? Then that king of Assyria will come again with his henchmen and say, oh, what are you going to do? We're going to wipe you out. Even writes a letter to Hezekiah, I'm going to take you. But because we stood holy and right and did that was right in God's sight, we are able to take that letter that that general brought to Hezekiah and lay it before the altar
of God,
the house of God, and say, God, you see this letter? This is what this government wants against me. And then you talk to Isaiah, and what does he say? Don't worry about this American law. Because you did that was right in my sight. I will change you that you will be a blessing. You see, and this is what I think we should be pushing forward. We should understand what is it what we lost. Dear people, there is something that is in Revelation chapter 12. And it says there, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What is the testimony that we have with one another to push forward to make a change? A change for our children. Okay? Why am I saying this? Okay, let's get to the opening verse that I used out of Ruth chapter 3. Let's just read it in order that I can refresh it, that I quote it right. Shall I not seek rest for thee? See, the rest that we are giving to our children is also marriage. In this, it talks about marriage. Rest in marriage. Why is it so important that we give that to our children? It is a support for people. Are they pure? My daughter is of the stock of Israel. I want a son. A son-in-law that is out of the stock of Israel to have a marriage with my daughter. Meaning blood. But the rest, the bigger rest, is her soul. How can the soul of my daughter connect to this son? Isn't it on a spiritual level that he is a spiritual being before his God too? That my daughter or my son will have that rest in that life partner that they chose. And then also the rest that comes from God. Isn't that a bigger thing too? This is why we have to push with everything that we have to make this happen. And then it states there, when all this happened, but a letter went from Hezekiah out into all Judah, and even further out into Israel, to invite them to come and feast together. See, that is where our ultimate goal should be. Because it is to unite this cultural people that is in our hearts here, to bring forward to a full blooming of what we already in infancy see here. To invite them finally that we can stand before God, like in the days of David and Solomon as a people. Because this United States of America has no interest in what you believe. But I'll tell you what. There is somebody that is very greatly pleased with what you want to achieve. That is your God. Let us serve him and turn to him with everything that we have, because you know what is at stake? It is your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. And they will blossom again. And let us end with that verse in Isaiah chapter 37. And the remnant that has escaped, and now my prayer is that each of you will be that remnant that has escaped, of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord the host shall do this. May you be blessed. Thank you.